emergency funding bill that addresses the overflow of illegal aliens at the U.S.-Mexico border. But the House and administration have still yet to get on board with the bill that has funds of about $4.5 billion. Louisiana Republican Congressman Steve Scalise.
It's time for Speaker Pelosi to bring a bill to the House floor to address the serious crisis and make sure that HHS has the money they need to take care of the health care needs of these young children that are being abused.
Another tense hearing on Capitol Hill over the Boeing 737 MAX jets. Retired pilot Sully Sullenberger was there to testifying, saying that pilots need to be properly trained on the software of the airplanes.
These crashes are demonstrable evidence that our current system of aircraft design and certification has failed us. These accidents should never have happened.
This is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Trump administration's rolled back another regulation. As we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
The Trump administration completing one of its biggest rollbacks of environmental rules, replacing a landmark Obama-era effort that tried to wean the nation's electric grid off coal-fired power plants. EPA Chief Andrew Wheeler, a former coal industry lobbyist, signing the replacement rule, giving states leeway in deciding whether to require efficiency upgrades at existing coal plants. He said the coal-fired power plants remain essential to the nation's power grid, something opponents deny. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Democrats are openly complaining about Hope Hicks' refusal to answer their questions during closed-door testimony before a House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. The White House has asserted executive privilege over any information Hicks, a former White House Director of Communications, might be asked to give about her work in the Trump administration. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
The RNC says President Trump raised nearly $25 million for his re-election in less than 24 hours. The president tweeted thank you and asked how the media is covering the president in his Tuesday night speech in Orlando, Florida. Molly Hemingway is an editor with The Federalist. She tells Fox News,
"This is exactly what we heard in 2016, and it is somewhat disappointing that the media haven't even updated their spin on things. I think at worst what you have is a corporate political media that is pushing an agenda rather than just reporting the news, and that is why their media coverage is so hostile. At best, they're just bad at their jobs, which means that they don't understand how the president of the United States speaks. They don't understand his rhetoric. They don't understand its appeal, and that's fine if they don't understand it. They just shouldn't be in journalism jobs. I think the more likely scenario, though, is that they are partisans pushing an agenda rather than journalists."
And regarding the polls showing the president losing to some of the major Democratic candidates in 2020, Brad Parscale, the president's campaign manager, tells CBS,
"I just think the country's too complex now just to call a couple hundred people and ask them what they think. There are so many ways and different people that are going to show up to vote now. The way turnout now works, the abilities that we have to turn out voters, the polling can't understand that. And that's why it was so wrong in 2016. It was 100% wrong. Nobody got it right. And not one public poll. And the reason why is it's not 1962 anymore. I think we win an electoral landslide as of today."
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Minadio. Welcome to Hack 100 and Radio. I'm your host, again, Jim Minadio. I'm the president of ZeroSurge, and it's located in Frenchtown, New Jersey, and online at ZeroSurge.com. This is a one-hour show that examines the current innovation trends, talks with local innovators, and ends with a story of innovation from the past. And so before we get started, we will have some news and weather, and we'll get the show going.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hello, we're back. And the weather today, 68 degrees currently under very cloudy skies. Looks like it's going to rain again tonight, probably rain again tomorrow, and then hopefully it'll get better by the weekend. So that's your abbreviated weather report. So like I'd like to introduce myself and the show. The reason why it's called Hack Hunterdon Radio is that it is an extension of the Hack Hunterdon meetups and hackathons. Hack Hunterdon started out as an economic development effort, but it's grown into a community of innovation. And more than just computer scientists, there are people with a variety of industries involved in various Hack Hunterdon events. So who am I? I own a company called ZeroSurge. We're a technology-oriented company. We protect equipment from surge damage and power failures. We've been around for 30 years. I bought the company 5 years ago in 2014. And we're located in Frenchtown, and we've been manufacturing there, again, for 30 years. About me, I like to read about the history of innovation, so we'll have a little innovation story at the end of the hour. And, I'm involved in a lot of state and local business groups, the New Jersey Manufacturers Extension Program, NJBIA, which is a business group, get involved with labor issues as far as training and having an educated workforce. And and then also about me, you'll see me on the volleyball court or listening to local blues musicians. So shout out to Bob Lanza and Trevor Power and Katie Henry and all the gang out there that we like to listen to. So what I like to do is the way this show will be formatted is the first segment we'll talk about what's new in technology, what's happening in innovation. And the second or third segments, we'll have people here being interviewed. Like today, we have winners from the recent hackathon. And then in the end, we'll have a story of innovation and something that was interesting to me that I read in the past. Kind of gives an idea of how one little invention or one little idea turned into, snowballed into a major event. So let's get started. So some new innovation that I was reading about this week. The first item is headlined the pumping heart patch. So there's researchers in England that are actually using stem cells to create a heart tissue. And what it does is they use it, they create it. Like, I'll see if I could show on the screen there. It It's a little, it's like a little mesh. And what they do is they implant it on the heart when you have a heart condition, and it actually will start pumping the heart for you. So it's like adding an extra pumper on top of your heart. And they've had some really good success in tests with rabbits and rats and things like that. And they're looking at doing human trials. So that'd be interesting. And that, again, was out of England. The second story is a company called Atom Power. Again, my company does power stuff, so this always catches my eye, these power stories. They created the first ever digital circuit breaker. And you go, well, what's the big deal about a circuit breaker being digital? Well, right now with renewable energies and solar, wind, you have power from grids, you have generators. You need to have a separate disconnect for every one of those power sources. So you can't just run one circuit breaker and then have the grid and then have your generator and your solar farm all feeding in through that breaker. So this digital breaker allows you to have one breaker, which will make everything channel through that breaker. And so it's pretty exciting, and it's an important product. I don't know anything about the company per se, and I don't have any, you know, investment in or anything like that, but I would say that it's a very important feature if we're going to have renewable energy in the future and make it more useful for everybody. Okay, and then the last article was something more local. Our local assemblyman, Andrew Zwicker, he actually co-wrote a bill that's up for signing at the governor's desk to institute blockchain technology in government paperwork. And you go, well, what's blockchain? Well, if you've heard of Bitcoin, it uses blockchain technology. Now, they're not talking about creating a new kind of currency in New Jersey. What they're talking about is using that fundamental trust aspect that goes with Bitcoin and use it for filling out government forms, maybe your driver's license, maybe permits, and using that technology would actually make filing for paperwork in the state of New Jersey easier and quicker. So the advantage would be, you know, versus other states is that, you know, we need to attract businesses here, and one of the things people complain about is the red tape in New Jersey. So that is one innovation that may lead to, you know, better for businesses in New Jersey. And then I guess those are the three articles, and, you know, I'll have things like that. So if you guys see stuff you want to promote or talk about that you're doing currently, you know, send them to me through the Facebook page, or I have my email address on there. It's jmenadio@zerosearch.com. And, you know, we could post it on here and talk about it. And so I think what we'll do is we'll have a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have one of the hackathon winners, and we'll talk about his project and see what he thought about it. And we'll go from there. So we'll have our break, and we'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hello, we're back, and first show jitters, I guess. So we have guests today. Make sure, yep, everybody's on camera there. And so we have the two finalists from the hackathon from last month. We have the first place and third place winner. Next week we'll have the second place winner via phone because he's a little bit older, so he's, you know, he has a day job, he's working, so he can't just get away as easily as the other two guys here could. But that's good. And all right, so the first one we'll do is David Zhang. He's from Annandale, and he competed by himself as a team of one. I guess all three, top three people were a team of one. And so, David, welcome.
Thank you, Jim.
And so how did you come up with the idea? So let's talk about your idea. So your project was called?
Yeah, so my project was called Neutrum Scale, and it was basically a Chrome extension that shows you how polarized the news article is, okay, as well as the validity of the source.
Okay, so Chrome, obviously, for all the non-technical people out there, basically he's saying that, you know, web browsers can have add-on programs that can do extra functions for you. If you're familiar with Chrome, it has a lot of different extensions for doing things like adding a news widget or adding weather, and so you're able to program your own specific extension, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then how did you program that? What kind of language did you use?
So usually Chrome extensions are JavaScript.
Okay.
There's also CSS, HTML involved in the actual UI, or the interface of the extension.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, and then, so where did you come up with the idea to do this?
Well, I was reading an article the other day about media bias, and I just thought it was really interesting how, like, the news we were receiving is just kind of meant to brainwash you in some sense. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make clear how, like, before you read a source, how biased it is, so that you know, like, maybe this source is Republican and I'm a Democrat, so it's not going to, like, fulfill my needs.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that sometimes, like, I'll read an article thinking that it is slanted one way or the other because of the source, and then you find out after you read it that it actually is their opposite source. You know, like a newspaper like the Washington Post is generally liberal, but they do have conservative reporting and conservative columns and things like that. So it's good to know, because sometimes it surprises you as a reader, you know, that it's even that way. But I can see the value of, and obviously for clarity too, for people who didn't know, I was one of the judges of the hackathon. So the value that we saw in this as judges was, you know, it is definitely topical, and that, you know, there are people that don't understand the concept, even though people talk about bias in the news all the time. There's still people who still don't understand it. But because the internet is so prevalent, everybody thinks what they read on the internet is true.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's definitely an issue. Like, anyone can create a website and post an article.
Right. Right. And so, what was I going to ask? Oh, so the next thing then would be, so what kind of problems did you have when you started doing the project? Were there any headaches or you know, things that held you back?
So obviously, like, the time limit was a big issue, because I know guys who, like, work for weeks on projects like these.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to get it done just because I've worked on Chrome extensions in the past, so I was pretty familiar with it.
Okay. Okay, that's good. So for the future hackathon contestants, you know, go with something that you know how to do. You know, if you're used to doing Chrome extensions, then maybe you should do a project on Chrome extensions. You know, don't pick something that's, you know, an app for a phone if you're not used to doing phone apps.
Yeah.
Which I guess I've seen, being involved in all three hackathons, we've seen teams where you'll have several people and maybe one person only knows how to do a certain kind of programming, and it kind of hampers their development. So how did you find the hackathon as far as, you know, the comfort, the food, things like that that we do to try to keep the contestants happy?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty well organized, especially with, like, the sponsors actually coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the overall structure of the event was, like, phenomenal.
Oh, great. Thank you. I do work on that too, so I'm on the board for it. So yeah, there's a lot of planning that goes involved, and we do get a lot of help from the sponsors, and we do appreciate that. Did you interact with any of the other groups while you were hacking?
Yeah, I interacted with Paul's
group,
actually. And,
okay.
His friend's group. I don't quite remember his name, but
Rohan,
yeah.
Okay, so what did you guys do? Did you trade off, like, tips, or were just hanging out, or just for breaks, or?
So on the last day we kind of just hung out, but me and Paul were both working on machine learning applications, so I mean, we talked a little about that.
Okay. So you do live in Hunterdon County. Is this a place that you can see yourself living in the future?
I could see myself retiring here maybe, but probably not, like, as a main career location, I guess.
Is it just because of, you know, you want to be in the city where the action is kind of thing? You know, there are a lot of people that commute to the city from Hunterdon County. So that's, you know, hopefully that's something they'll keep improving upon in the future. But it is a place where there's a lot of programming that goes on, and that's why we have this program and why Hack Hunterdon exists, is to let people know, realize a lot of people come out here for the you know, the greenery and the family life and things like that, but realize that they're also this big tech community that's here, and there are people that do work on projects together and create businesses here. So great. Let's see what my timing is at here. All right, so we still have some more time left. The other part of your project that you didn't mention was the credibility.
Oh, yes.
So to describe that for us.
So my extension also labels out, basically, if you're reading a source, how credible it is. And there's actually a scale. It was called LexisNexis, basically. They published a scale with, like, credibility ratings based on the authors of each source. So I just took that information and I, from a numerical scale, turned it into, like, more of a user-friendly scale of credible, not credible, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. And then how were you able to get there? How did you get their information? Do they make it available to people?
Yeah, they have a database.
Okay, so you just download the database, or do you link to it?
I pre-process the information for, like, my verbal rating, and then I just, pretty much stick it in the extension.
Okay, so you just use their scale. Is that something that you think that you could improve upon if you had more time?
Yeah, if I had more time, I'd definitely try something, like, to do it on myself. But just because of the time constraint, I had to, like,
using
what
others.
I had, basically.
Okay. How would you go about doing that if you had, like, say, 2 or 3 weeks to do the project? What would you do differently that LexisNexis does? Do you have an idea?
I like what they did with the authors, but I think they did something like checking their background, employment background. But I would do something like getting a database of authors and awards won, and just collecting that information and then creating a scale of like how accountable each writer is.
Okay. Okay, great. Is there anything else you want to add? How old are you?
I'm 16.
16, so you go to North?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're a junior then this year?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Parent of two kids who went to North. One just graduated this year, and one graduated a few years ago. So it's good to see North represented here. How did you find out about the hackathon then?
On DevPost, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because we did try to reach out to the school, so that's good that you still found out somehow. Okay, great. I guess what we'll do is take – still a little early for a break, but I'll take a break, and then we'll talk to Paul next, and then we'll maybe talk with the two of them after that, since it sounds like I'll have a little extra time. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with the winner of the hackathon, Paul John.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Fed Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged. The benchmark rate remains between 2.25% and 2.5%. Talking with reporters today, Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the economy has been performing reasonably well within this past year. Former White House Communications Director Hope Hicks was back on Capitol Hill testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. Now, that testimony was supposed to be confidential, although according to Republican Congressman Doug Collins, who sits on that committee,
our chairman gave an impassioned speech to keep everything here as confidential as possible to make sure that this testimony went well. And then one of the members, Ted Lieu, decides to live tweet it.
Emergency crews are on the scene of a train derailment in northeast Nevada. The Elko County Sheriff's Office says Interstate 80 east of Wells is closed in both directions. The train is said to be carrying hazardous material, and there are no reports of any injuries. This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Okay, we're back. Just as a reminder, the weather, it's still 68 degrees. It still looks like it's raining. I see some raindrops on the window. And tomorrow, again, will be 79 with rain, and hopefully Friday, 78, 75, Friday, Saturday, no rain. So looking forward to that. Have a good weekend with the weather, finally. Okay, so we're back with the Hack 100 in first and third place winners, and we're now going to switch over to Mr. Paul John. He did a project based on a security app that he created for school incidents related to, like, school shootings and things like that.
Yeah.
So why don't you describe it and tell us how you came up with the idea, Paul.
Okay, thank you, Jim. So I came up with the idea after the last year when the Parkland shooting happened, the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting. So that was in the news cycle for, like, a couple weeks after that in terms of how to solve it. So there are a lot of solutions proposed, but most of them are political solutions that require a lot of years to actually implement.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about another solution when I found out a statistic. So the statistic I honed in on is that an average school shooting lasts about 12 minutes. And on the other hand, the average police response times to these school shootings is about 16 minutes. So there's a 4-minute gap right there. So every minute, it can be, if any minute or any second can be deducted,
right.
That means lives can be saved. So how do you implement that? So somewhere along the chain, you have to cut down some type of response time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was trying to cut down was response time between the first gunshot and the person calling 911.
Okay.
Because after the first gunshot, someone has to call 911, pick up a phone. None of that happens automatically.
Right.
So basically what I created is a machine learning model that runs on phones and other audio devices that will detect gunshots. And after it detects the gunshot, it will send an alert to teachers so that they can barricade themselves in rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll also send an alert to emergency services and police so they can actually respond to the threat. So basically what I'm doing here is I'm eliminating the time between the first gunshot or the first incident and calling
the call to response.
The call to respond.
Okay. And also the call to respond within the school to barricade and lock down the school.
Exactly. That's very important.
Okay, good. And so how did you come up with that idea? It was just based on that, like, because you're supposed to go to the hackathon, you know, sort of you may have ideas in your head, but you're not theoretically have worked on it for a while. So, I mean, Parkland happened a while ago. Is that been that much impressed on you that you've been thinking about it for that whole time?
Yeah, exactly. Because school shootings, they usually come and go in the news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So usually before hackathon, I think of, like, okay, what idea can I do? What can I innovate? What can I make better?
Mm-hmm.
So when I thought of school shootings, I was like, how can I make it better that doesn't involve some kind of gun restriction or some type of political solution?
Mm-hmm.
And response time was the way to go.
Good. And then, so how did you lay out the project?
So I laid out the project by first, at the hackathon, I dived right into the code. And that was a mistake.
Okay.
Because, when you're diving right into the code, there's no sense of direction of where the project should go.
Okay.
So a mentor told me, hey, make the PowerPoint first to show how you envision the product working.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that Dennis or Brandon? Do you remember?
Brandon.
Okay. Just want to give Brandon credit because
we
had a couple mentors, Dennis and Brandon, that did a lot of the work as far as mentoring and also Grant and myself and a few others. Eric did a little bit too. But basically the five of us went around the night to help, you know, be a sounding board for people because, you know, even though you said David and you talked, you know, they don't have they're also thinking about their own thing too. So maybe they could help you with technical things, but they don't give you the context and the perspective that somebody who's been doing stuff like this for a while, you know, like myself or Brandon. So Brandon, I think, was one of the hidden all-stars of this event because he was very good at making you forced to look at your project, figure out what am I trying to do here before you start getting off on a tangent on coding. So good.
Yeah. So going off of that too, Brandon really helped me because at first this project was supposed to be about gun violence in general,
mm-hmm.
Before like schools came in. So he was like, what is the primary focus of this? I was like, schools. And he's like, then cut out the whole gun violence in general part because you're adding complication to it. Because in you're allowed to shoot guns in public places, not in public places, but like
you're allowed to shoot guns
that's
in
not
places.
Illegal, of course, right. It's not. But confine it to an area, restrict it, and then code all from there. So
that's smart. Okay, and so how did you program it? What kind of programming languages did you use?
So I had a mobile side and a web side. So the web was basically for police and emergency services, and the mobile side was basically for like teachers and audio devices to be implemented on. And so basically the app was built using Dart, mm-hmm. and the website was built using JavaScript. And the server that handles all the location data to show you the location of the gunshot mm-hmm. is handled by a Flask Python server.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how accurate can you get with this as far as location?
So location is only as good as your phone's GPS.
Okay.
So think about driving using your GPS on a regular road. It's about that accurate.
Okay. So, now, but you're also using multiple teachers' phones to listen. So can you get an advantage, like a triangulation out of that, that makes it a little bit more accurate or more precise?
Exactly. And that's also the idea of introducing other audio devices to implement the software on so that there's mm-hmm. no dead zones in the school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if you have a fixed audio listening, then you know exactly where that location is.
Exactly.
And so then you have a way you would feed that into that mapping.
Exactly.
Okay. And, okay, so what other problems that you had while you were doing this? Is there any, as far as, you know, initially it was because you started coding before figuring out the solution. Did you have any problems with the actual coding?
Well, the problems with the actual coding were, like, getting the gunshot to actually detect, because you had to make sure, I also, when I was doing machine learning algorithm, mm-hmm. I made sure that the computer knew that not to detect for clap noises or loud shrieks, screams, or stuff, so it won't get thrown off and give a false positive.
Yeah, like a kid dropping a book.
Exactly.
Okay. And let's see. So then when you demonstrated it, that was one of the things, you know, as we were rating these projects, you know, that it was complete. You know, you were able to demonstrate something actually working. So you had a recorded gunshot sound and how it would just respond, and it really did the phone, you know, started ringing right away, you know, as far as, you know, how it worked, both when you had to do it in front of the theater and in the preliminary. So that was good. So do you have any plans for this app at this point?
Well, I talked to Dennis, and he's thinking about, like, some kind of, like, funds to help, like, grow this idea into mm-hmm. actual product, because now it's just a hackathon idea.
Right.
It's really, like, a prototype, even if it's that.
Right.
So growing this is going to be really hard and take a lot of time.
Okay. But I mean, but since you have the idea
yeah.
and you also have other, you know, hacker friends and things like this now
exactly.
that you've met through this, so it's something that you can consider. We've seen projects in the past, you know, move towards commercialism. The second place winner that we'll talk to next week, I know he mentioned something about that with Bose, that he's already contacted them to have as an app for their speaker glasses that he did a project with, which, you know, next week you should check it out because it's an interesting idea. It's interesting, a unique application for doing headphones. So do you think you will, now that you have the summer off, to work on this? Or
yeah, I think I will. And I'll probably ask, like, my other friends, maybe David, other people who are knowledgeable about this,
mm-hmm.
about the same level, even more than me, to help me with it.
Okay. And so I guess you're one of the contestants that wasn't originally living in Hunterdon County. So how did you hear about the hackathon?
So I came here last year, but last year I heard through DevPost.
Okay.
Which is the same thing he heard through.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You were with a high school team last year, right?
Yeah, I was with the high school team last year.
Okay, I do remember that now. Okay, so what did you do last year?
Last year was like a 3D scanner.
Okay. Oh, that was the 3D, the second place?
Yeah, second
okay,
place.
Okay, so he's a multiple winner here, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually was a very interesting project. See if we have time to, I guess we have just a few more minutes. Maybe we could talk about that real quick, but it was an interesting project. I remember it pretty well. Basically, it was a way of scanning a three-dimensional object, but most scanners use laser, and you guys used ultrasound.
Ultrasonic sensors.
And so there's an advantage because some materials are easier to scan with sound than they are with laser, because laser, you get reflections and things like that. And it would create a map of that 3D object. And so it was pretty cool how you guys did that with cardboard and little servo motors and sensors.
Arduinos.
And it was interesting, too. This year we had a project that also used ultrasonic sensors. So we kept that going for this year, the girls that did the car.
Yeah.
So let me see. All right, so we have... we have a few more minutes left before the next break. So why don't we talk about, between the two of you guys, like what your, if you had to vote for a top two or three projects, besides each other's two, because I know you'll say each other's was good, what other projects do you remember from the hackathon that you liked? David?
Yeah, I'll go first. So I really liked the project, what you were saying with the girls who did the ultrasonic.
Okay.
I was actually behind the stage when they demoed, so I'm not sure how well it turned out, but it just seemed like a really good idea because I knew like Google is using LiDAR,
mm-hmm.
and other groups are using like visual machine learning, but that hasn't been working well. But I think ultrasonic is like a good bridge mm-hmm. to go right now, just because it's already like developed.
Yeah. So to be clear, too, these two girls, one was a programmer, one was a hardware person that
engineer,
and so they had a car, like a remote control car, maybe about, you know, a foot and a half long, and they had all these ultrasonic sensors around it, and it was supposed to navigate around objects. And what you missed in the demo was that those judges were sitting in the front row, and if it wasn't for Eric's long foot, I think it was Eric or Grant's,
yeah.
I can't remember now which one, but it almost rolled off the stage. Because there's nothing to stop it from doing that. They didn't have a sensor for you know, falling off a cliff. It was going to Thelma and Louise itself off of the stage. And Grant stuck his foot out and saved it and died.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, you saw that, right?
Yeah, I like that project also.
Okay. Is there another project that you like besides that one?
I like the driving one. It didn't quite work. It was basically you use a... face detection software.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if it detects your eyes, then basically it will know that you're not sleeping. It's a kind of like a simple application, but I think it has potential.
Okay. Yeah, that would when they did the preliminary judging, very well because it worked. But what he didn't account for was that when you're on stage to do it, we're doing it in the theater at 100 and Central. And the theater was lit for a theater, so it was darker. And so his phone, he didn't set it. He didn't think about the concept that, you know, most people are falling asleep when they're driving when it's dark outside.
Yeah.
And so it didn't detect his face because it was too dark. And so it was something he didn't consider. And that's a problem when you're doing a project in one day.
Exactly.
These little things happen. It was unfortunate, but he had a good idea. For me, I mean, the three obviously that we chose, there was a fourth that was kind of, there was two that could have been fourth place if we actually gave a fourth place. One was the extension. Again, it was Chrome extension for doing a, when you're shopping on Amazon, that it would detect whether you're buying something from a company that you don't want to buy from. So say you're protesting, you know, XYZ company and you're shopping and you're picking out this, you know, this pen. And you find out it's made by XYZ, it'll pop up and say, hey, that's from XYZ. You may want to consider, you know, ABD instead, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good idea. And what it could be is either you input the companies you don't want to buy from, or you could look up and see companies that are being boycotted. So, you know, almost like a crowdsourcing, boycotting kind of app where you say, hey, well, there's 50 people that are boycotting XYZ. Maybe I shouldn't... buy from them, or at least find out why people are protesting.
Exactly.
So I thought that was a good one. All right, so I think what we'll do is we'll wrap it up with a break here, and then we'll have our story. So I want to thank both David and Paul for coming out and sharing with their projects. You guys can stick around and listen to this story. So to tease the break for the next story, we're going to talk about how the invention of creating acetone synthetically and how it led to the creation of a brand new country. So stick around and we'll tell you how.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hello, I'm back here. So, as I promised, a story of innovation from the past. So, this story starts almost 104 years ago, 1915. There was a lecturer named Dr. Haim Wiseman at the University of Manchester in England. And what he did was he invented a fermentation process. So, he basically took starch from different corn, potatoes, even nuts, and he was able to make chemicals out of it by using certain bacteria. In particular, he was inventing a method for doing acetone and butyl alcohol. And why that's important is because acetone is a key component in smokeless gunpowder or cordite. And so during World War I, when it started, obviously gunpowder was a very important commodity to have, and the Allies could not make enough of it because the precursor chemical for this was usually coming from Germany, and obviously they were at war with Germany. So, and the U.S. had a pretty sparse supply. So Winston Churchill, who actually was in charge of the Navy at the time, he requested that this Wiseman process be used to mass produce acetone in England and Canada. And so with the expansion of the war and, you know, World War I is called the war to end all wars because it's the first war where bullets killed more people than disease or famine. And so obviously using a lot of weaponry during that war. So it was very important in, you know, keeping England to the point where they, you know, were able to survive the war. So as part of his reward from England, one of the lords, Lord Balfour, said, "Hey, you know, this has been a great thing. I will offer you any prize you want for this process, you know, because we couldn't do it without you." And so he said, "There's only one thing I want, and it's a national home for my people." So, duly impressed, Lord Balfour issued the famous Balfour Declaration of 1917. So if you guys are following in the news closely enough, you may have heard that name before, that phrase, the Balfour Declaration. And what that was it was committing Britain as a government to establish a national home for the Jewish people in what was then called Palestine. So ultimately, the British mandate gave way to the modern state of Israel after World War II. So Dr. Weizmann actually became Israel's first president of Israel. I believe Einstein was in the running too, but begged off because he didn't want to get involved with politics. But so this, you know, humble scientist from Manchester ended up becoming the first president of a brand new country right after World War II. And one of the other aspects of this that's interesting from an innovation standpoint is that Israel is very good at taking research and then turning it into a business. And so they were the first country to really establish this pipeline of taking fundamental research at a university or at a government facility and finding a business opportunity to have it commercialized. And this is something that we can trace back to Dr. Weizmann as one of the first instances where, you know, Britain did that with his invention. And, you know, he ended up patenting 100, he had 110 other patents. And most of them were, you know, also to benefit society as well, not just with gunpowder, but he did research on eye, and some other medications. And also, he also laid some of the fundamental research that ended up making penicillin. So he did some good as well. Okay, so we're almost done and for my first show. So I'd like to do a bunch of thank yous for all the people that got me to this point. It'll be a little longer than our normal goodbye here. So thank Michelle, who's to my left here, and Chris from the chamber for giving me the opportunity and the training to get this done. Thank Chris and Bianco for setting up this nice studio. It's kind of a cool setup, makes it pretty easy for us. I want to thank Mark from Max Fitness. If you're watching, Mark, you let me sit on the show with you and learned a lot from you. And Mark Salek and his team from the Economic Development Office for their encouragement and support. I'd like to thank the gang back at Zero Surge. To Donna, thank you for helping me with the marketing and letting me bounce ideas off of you. To Deb for keeping the products rolling while I do this. And to Jen, Dave, Tony, John for putting out quality products every day. Thanks to my wife, Debbie, and my children for putting up with my enthusiasm for Hack Hunterdon. I'm always out at a meeting or getting involved, talking with Mark, emailing him back and forth. I'd like to thank the Hack Hunterdon community for being welcoming. I mean, I'm not a programmer per se. I mean, I've done it a long time ago, but, you know, they treat me as one of their own. And to all the rest of you innovators out there, you know, the original meaning of the word innovator was rebel. So the innovators, the original innovators were rebels and revolutionaries. So, you know, if you keep rebelling against the doubters, you can make your ideas a reality. And so with that, I think we're a little early, but, you know, we'll say goodbye, and hopefully the show will run a little longer next week. So thank you all, and see you next week.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Fed Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged. The benchmark rate remains between 2.25% and 2.5%. Talking with reporters today, Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the economy has been performing reasonably well within this past year. Former White House Communications Director Hope Hicks was back on Capitol Hill testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. Now, that testimony was supposed to be confidential, although according to Republican Congressman Doug Collins, who sits on that committee,
our chairman gave an impassioned speech to keep everything here as confidential as possible to make sure this testimony went well. And then one of the members, Ted Lieu, decides to live tweet it.
Emergency crews are on the scene where a train carrying grenades and bombs derailed in northeast Nevada. The Elko County Sheriff's Office says Interstate 80 east of Wells is closed in both directions because of the hazardous material spill. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
Hi, I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like a picture of Kyle pretending to put his fingers on top of another national monument, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Kyle, it's that you hate that he's there, and you are sitting in a bathroom stall at work. Don't hate like Kyle's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said in a House Judiciary Committee hearing that he will be speaking with a Chinese official before the president meets with the Chinese president at the upcoming G20 summit.
When actual negotiations begin again, I can't say at this point, but we're talking, we're going to meet.
Miracle on the Hudson pilot Sully Sullenberger says the deadly crashes of Boeing's troubled 737 MAX jets should never have happened.
Some have said that even though MCAS software had flaws, the pilots on these flights should have performed better and been able to solve the sudden, unanticipated crisis they faced.
Testifying in a House hearing on Wednesday, Sullenberger says the crashes are evidence that the current system of aircraft design and certification has failed.
These crashes are demonstrable evidence that our current system of aircraft design and certification has failed us. These accidents should never have happened.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Trump wants voters to help continue what he's already started. At a rally in Orlando, Florida on Tuesday, the president called the 2020 election a verdict on the progress he's made. As far as reaction to the president's speech, these folks were at the Amway Center and said,
"It was an absolute amazing turnout.
It was really inspiring.
It was awesome.
We believe in him in 2016, and we're going to vote for him definitely in 2020.
I thought that he touched on a lot of things that I think that people are wanting to know about.
This man loves our country, he loves God, and he's with the American people.
It's really good to see the president take initiative to secure our border.
I've never been to any sort of political rally ever, and oh my gosh, I was like going to cry. It was awesome."
That audio courtesy of Fox News. Just 10 months after he got in trouble with U.S. regulators for tweeting, Elon Musk has deleted his Twitter account. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the details.
He changed his Twitter display name on Father's Day to Daddy.com, which is an existing website that provides parenting information to new and expecting fathers. Musk got in trouble with the Securities and Exchange Commission in August for tweets about taking the company private and saying he had secured funding to do so with no evidence to back that up. Musk and Tesla each paid $20 million to settle with the SEC. As part of the court settlement, Musk is required to have Twitter posts approved by a company lawyer if they have the potential to affect the company's stock.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. I am your host, David Lazar. Before we get to a jam-packed episode featuring an exclusive interview with Penguins beat writer